Okay, if you have a Bible, you can open it up to the book of Mark chapter 5. That's where we will be, Mark chapter 5. You're welcome to use your smartphone or device, all that stuff. If you didn't bring a Bible but you'd like to read along, there are Bibles underneath many of the chairs. So you can grab that. Okay, let me start with this. Is there a situation or a circumstance that when it pops up and becomes available in your life, you just can't help but to get involved? Something when it, and here's some ideas. Ready? There's a season in my life where if I saw one of those signs, I mean, it was a miracle if I didn't stop. Have you ever, now some of you are like, what? I mean, it was just, wait, garage sale, must stop at garage sale. So maybe that's not you, but do you have anything in your life like that? This next one is Chipotle. I got a friend who some of you know because this evening was the first time he'd ever done announcements. His name's Brax Vandervoort. Seriously, about any time, day or night, if someone said, hey, anybody want to go to Chipotle, he is driven by some Chipotle genie, something, I don't know, but he's there. Another thing just may be a hobby that you have, a sporting event, when the television, when the football game is on, or when it's NASCAR Saturday night, or is NASCAR Saturday night, it used to be Saturday, yeah, or, you know, all those, you're like, I'm in. So most of us probably have something like that. Well, here's where I'm going with it. Here's a question. Do you think there is anything like that that triggers God? Is there something in God's makeup that when there is this certain opportunity or circumstance, he is like, I'm in. I mean, he looks at Father looks at the Son, and they speak the Holy Spirit. Let's get involved. Do you think there's anything like that in God's makeup? I'd submit to you a few ideas. Something like a hurting person, I think, could be one of those things. God, injustice, I think, tugs on the heart of God. Children, or the fatherless, we could argue. Widows, that there are certain things God's like, I am going to get involved in that. Now, I'll submit one for sure, and it's going to be what we're going to talk about tonight. One thing for sure is an individual exhibiting faith. Someone who is exhibiting faith, I'm telling you, it's one of those things that triggers God, and he is going to do something. Someone believing in his power, his goodness, his willingness to help. Here's on the screen is a working definition of faith, just so that we can kind of get on the same page. Faith. This isn't a perfect definition, but it'll help us. Confidence or trust in a person or thing, belief in another's ability to, and eagerness to act. It's not a horrible definition. Faith. I'm telling you, when God sees faith, it motivates him, pulls him into action. He's into it. A few verses. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Matthew 9:28, and we could go all over to look for examples. There are two blind individuals in chapter 9, and of course they want healed, and it says that the blind men came to him, that's Jesus, and he asked them, this is interesting, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied, and then I underlined, then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. I just noticed the word then. You, believe I can do this? All righty. Do you see how it pulls? It creates initiative in him. Another one. In Luke 7, there's a story of a centurion, a military man, whose servant is sick and dying, and Jesus says in the midst of it, well, I will come and heal him, he says to the centurion. And then the centurion says, Lord, this is so cool. Don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. And I've summed this up. And he says, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. So this was, Jesus is impressed with this guy. Some of you know that story. So Jesus is on his way. He's going to go. Okay, well, I'll go to your house and I'll heal your servant. And the guy says, no, I understand authority. I understand who you are. All you have to do is say the word. And that guy over there, 6 miles away that we're going to walk, he goes, he'll be healed. And it says of Jesus, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And then if you know the story, what happens? Jesus does a long distance miracle. I don't know what it looked like. I don't even know if he had to, but he just, okay. The guy, and at that exact time, this servant gets healed. And what caused that, if you will? Jesus says, this guy's got amazing faith. I am going to get involved in this situation. So hold that thought. We are in this series titled Change, Moving Beyond Life's Familiar Miseries. And today we're going to talk about, it's got to be one of the greatest resources if we want to experience supernatural change. There's not a good place to plug this in, but I want to also plug the book that we're offering at the Resource Center, just because someone came up to me before the service. We're offering The Bondage Breaker. There isn't a picture of it or anything, but I'm pretty sure we have some. The Bondage Breaker. Because someone came up before the service and said, you know that book, The Bondage Breaker? And they said, it changed my life. They haven't even read it all yet, but it is changing. So if you haven't explored that book, please consider that. All right, but change, moving beyond life's familiar miseries. And today we're going to, again, explore one of the greatest triggers if you want to see God's supernatural change in your life, and it's faith. And we're going to look at an account where there is a woman who is in a miserable situation. Again, the series is about life's familiar misery. She's in a miserable situation, and she really could use some change. And there is a supernatural miracle that happens in the physical realm, changes her life, and it's very much tied to her faith. And it's the woman with the Bible describes as with the issue of blood. And so she has what my mother would have called years ago, and she would have said she has a female problem. Because that's what I would be like, what's going on? It's a female. So she's got a female problem, and it's a miserable situation, okay? So a tiny bit of background. Jesus is in the midst of ministry. He is on his way to heal a dying little girl. And on his way, I would describe it as like there's this ministry parade happening. This happened quite a bit around Jesus. People would realize he was going to go and heal somebody. And so what would people do? They would march with him, and people would gather on the street and go, he's going to go help heal us. And so there would have been this mass of people walking to watch the miracle man do his stuff. Well, and in the midst of that, this large crowd is following, and the verses describe that they are pressed around him. Can you picture that? Lots of people. Jesus is in the middle of the crowd. And here's what it says in chapter 5, verse 25. We'll read several verses. Try to picture this. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. That's faith. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Wow. Title of the message is Expecting a Change, Trusting in God's Power. And my hope, mission, that woman had, we would all get more of it. Now, maybe that's where you live, but can I just get you a glimpse into my life? I'm not even close to that. I mean, I pray and I hope, but as I've been studying this week, I'm like, wow, God, there is a chasm between my trust and faith and confidence in what was in this woman. So I want to explore couple things that I think probably set the stage for her to have this kind of faith. I'm going to look at two sources for life-changing faith. And before I do that, I'm going to invite anybody who wants to join me in this prayer. If you tend to be a doubter, and if I were out there, I would have to stand. Okay? If you tend to be a doubter and really would like for God to impart some of this stuff, I'll invite you to stand. Stand by myself. That's okay too. Why don't you stand if you want? And I will pray for those of us who we just realize, wow, that's a big gap between probably what this woman has and where I'm living. All right, let's pray. Father, many of us, we just join in. I really do. I'm somewhat embarrassed when I read an account like this of a woman who just if she thought if she just could touch your clothes. That's amazing. Lord, I want more of that. I apologize. I ask your forgiveness for those times when I lack faith, and I hope, God, you will impart to us some keys that our faith would increase. So we submit the rest of this time to everyone in the room. There's not a doubt that everyone in the room could use more of what this woman had. So will you impart to us that kind of lesson. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to give you a couple sources for life-changing faith. Characteristics that things I see in this text that I think give us hints to how this woman got what she had. And you can write a couple of these things down if you'd like. The first one is this. A life-changing faith is developed during times of suffering. It's developed during times of suffering. Verse 25, and we all just read it. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had, there it is, suffered a great deal. Now, how many of you know God didn't have to put that in the scripture? It's part of the story. And he's going to give us more details here that helps us understand what this woman had been through. To get a clear picture of this suffering, I'd invite you to, I'm going to read verses 25 and 26. And if you can, and you may need to close your eyes to do it, but picture a few of the circumstances as I emphasize these words that from the text. So we just want to get a glimpse of really what was going on in terms of suffering. And it says that a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for, and this is noteworthy, 12 years. That's a long time. She had been bleeding for 12 years. I'm just pausing to let that sink in. She had suffered a great deal under the care of, and some of you may have been through this in your life, many doctors. You go to that one, and he tries this, and he refers you to this one, or someone says you ought to try this. Can you picture that? Many doctors. 12 years, many doctors. And she had spent all she had. Are you getting a picture of what this woman has been going through for 12 years? And she spent all, and if you look up the word all in the original language, anybody want to guess what it means? It means all. It means all. She gave it all to the doctor. I remember reading some stuff that some scholars had written. When the thought of giving it all, reality of she had given it all away, right? And then, but they're probably the doctors at that point. What are they doing? Yeah, I got nothing else for you. Thanks for the money. But she had spent all she had. And the final thing is, yet instead of getting better, she's getting worse. Can you picture that? And just, this is a healthy thing for us, I think, as Christians to understand. That is what God describes in the text as suffering. This woman is going through it. Now, just a side note, for those of us that sometimes I think need a good perspective on what suffering is, and I'm going to just a little tangent here, for those of us, the whiners among us, like me, that's suffering. Some of the things that we're going through, not sure God would record it in Scripture as suffering. Does that make sense? 2 days ago, went to a soccer game to encourage a family friend. Went to a soccer game, sat on bleachers. Horrible. And then, of course, because it's fall, as the game goes on, I'm getting chilly. I am chilly. Sitting on bleacher. I go to get up and I do this. My friend goes, "You okay?" I'm like, "Oh man, I'm suffering. Jesus, I'm suffering." But just a side note, I don't think God of heaven was looking down and saying, "Ah, yes and amen, Mark, you're suffering." That is not suffering. There's a little point here that I want to get through to us in America, okay? That's not suffering. You know, having a headache, can I submit to you? For most of us, if we have that's not suffering. It's a headache. I mean, you know, you may have migraine, maybe migraine, but, you know, I get a headache. That's not suffering. I don't think God would record that as suffering. A bad night's sleep is not suffering. There's just a side Holy Spirit word for, I think, some of us in the midst of life, and it's a very clear word. I think sometimes God would look down and say, just shut up and quit whining. That is not suffering. But God, I'm using these teeth whitening strips, and it just doesn't seem to be making a difference. So Lord, I'm going to intercede on behalf of Colgate that they would create something that my smile would, because it's just not as bright as, shut up. It's not suffering. You're not suffering because you're, okay? It's a little tangent. But here we go. When suffering comes, because most of us will qualify at some point, and maybe some of you even today, you're going through a season that is hard and it is suffering. Here's what I want to say. Look for God to be developing your faith in the midst of the hard time. That's what I think that we can learn from this woman. You can write this down and we'll unpack it a little bit. When we are going through a trial, God may be trying to grow up our faith. James 1, verse 2 and 3. You've been around the church a long time. You've heard this one before. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And I just emphasize the word develops. Even we just stopped it right there. The testing of your faith develops, creates. I think God is trying, he's trying to create in us something that can only be developed in the midst of hard times. Here's what I think that this woman's trial set the stage for her amazing faith. And I think it may have gone something like this. I think the trial peeled away all of her other faith options, all the other things that she could put her hope in. Let me walk through a scenario. Of course, this is not the exact scenario, but her life may have done something like this. Day one, she begins to bleed. Not a big deal. Doesn't know anything's wrong. It's not, you know, just part of life, and so it's no big deal. Day 17. I'll just put my hope in time. This too shall pass. It's not that big a deal. You know, how everything just, you know, it'll figure itself out. Put some hope in time. Bleeding, day 37. I think I'm going to go to the doctor. But I have hope because now I'll go to the doctor. I'll put my hope in, what is it? Medicine. I'll put my hope in medicine. And so she has faith. She's putting her faith in medicine. Day 37, the doctor will help. What about when you get to day 365, the end of the first year? I'll put my hope in change. I'll change doctors. I'll find a new doctor. I'll put my hope in evolution because something will come about in the future that the doctor will find something new, and then this doctor over here learned something because he developed something, and so I put my hope in that at day 365. What do you do at year three? Year three comes along. I'll put my hope in money because I'm still not out of money. I still got some money, and so you keep the here and this cycle of hope continues and continues and continues until, here's the deal, eventually, right? Year 12, there's nothing else. She doesn't have any hope. All of her faith options are gone. And what happens? Jesus. That's what happens. Jesus comes on the scene, and something happens noteworthy. Her faith. She gets this supernatural. Her faith, instead of being horizontal, right, goes vertical. And boy, does it really go. She gets this surge. You can write this down. The woman's season of suffering sets the stage for a surge of faith. All of a sudden, Jesus is in town. She has got so much faith. Life-changing thing. I wish this wasn't the case. I don't even like this. You know, like you think, oh man, I want to have amazing faith. But I'm telling you that probably suffering is part of the deal. There's there's something supernatural. I don't know why, but there's something supernatural that we can see through Scripture. People that are going through suffering, something happens, and they end up with greater faith. I'm doing my devotions in the book of Acts, and this was one thing that came to mind. In Acts chapter 5, you can read this if you want. I'll summarize the story. In Acts chapter 5, the Holy Spirit has come, and the church is growing. And there, you can take that off for just a second. The Holy Spirit has come. The church is growing. Miracles are happening. And then guess what happens? Persecution comes. Trials, struggles. The apostles are arrested. It's interesting. You should read chapter 5. The apostles are arrested. They go to jail. An angel comes and he lets them out. So then they go out and they start preaching again. And the guys, the religious people go, "Didn't you put them in jail last night? Yeah, what are they doing out there?" So they go out and they arrest them again, in a sense, and they pull them in. And so they're arguing, what are we going to do with these guys? They actually want to kill the apostles, but instead they decide they'll just beat them and tell them to shut up. Okay? So they're going to beat. And here's what it says in chapter 5, verse 40. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. They ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to give you just a little image of this flog. They had them flogged. Just one word. But it would have been not as easy as one word. So here's an image I found online. Here's a young man being flogged. Okay? And then another picture. This is an image of a gentleman's back after being flogged. Now, we don't know whether it was less injurious, is that even a word? Or more likely it was worse. Okay? But anyway, so the apostles, they just went through that. Now, here's what you would think. Their faith would go down. Wouldn't you, in the natural realm, think, oh man, I just got beat. I'm struggling with my faith. But that is not what happens. Verse 41, right after that, says this: the apostles left the Sanhedrin. Here it is. Rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering, disgrace for the name. What is that? Here's what I'm telling you. It's the way it works. And I've seen it. In reality, their suffering bubbled up faith in their soul. A couple quick examples that I've seen. We have a team right now in Sudan, in South Sudan, doing ministry. And I was really privileged a few years back to get to go over there. And just to be clear, in Sudan, life is harder than here. I'm just telling you, all right? And I saw a couple things over there that I think was a glimpse into the reality that suffering produces more faith. I'll share them really quick. I got to the end of a teaching time. I was doing a leadership meeting with probably 100 folks. And at the end of the leadership time, and I was working through an interpreter, I communicated to him two things. One is we had provided a meal for everyone that came to the conference. They were going to go out. They were going to get to have meat and rice, which, by the way, where we were at, that's a big deal. The meat part, big deal. They'd been cooking this meat all morning. Meat and rice. And so I said, I prayed for the meal, and I said, so now here's what we're going to do. If you want to go have lunch, you go have lunch. But if you have a need that you would like to see God intervene in, and I'm communicating through the translator, you stay after while people go start to get their food, and myself and the other team members, we will pray for you. So I said that, and then the interpreter went, and then they did that thing. And so then here's what happened, and you guys could have been the group, and here's what happened when he said, to dismiss everybody for the meat. There's meat outside. And you're doing exactly what happened after he dismissed everybody. Nobody moved. And so I went, what I said was, there's food outside, but anybody who has a real need that they'd like to bring before God, you stay. And then so the food, no, you were okay? And he said, yeah. That's what I told them. They all want prayer. They all want prayer. say every single person, but I was unaware of anyone leaving the space before they got prayer. See, what is that? They know something that I don't know. And later in the same trip, we may not get to point two. Later in the same trip, I was going to be nice, I was going to help. There was this group of guys, and during the meal later, I was talking to them, and I was asking them about their favorite Bible verse. And I had a Bible, and all these kids had Bibles, and so we had this dialogue, and I decided, because I'm the leader, right? I'm supposed to be doing this leadership conference. So later in the day, when we had a prayer time again, I invited these four young men, I'm pretty sure there were four of them, and I said, when we began to pray for people, I want you guys, the next time I pray, I want you guys to come up, and I want you to help me pray for the sick, okay? And I don't know that I'll quickly forget it. So I thought, I will bring you up, I will mentor you in the art of praying. That was what was in my brain. Woman came up, she evidently had breast cancer. And over there, what do you do when you get breast cancer? You pray. Okay, so she came up, and she described through the interpreter pain in her chest, and he said she most likely had, I said, boys, come up here, we're going to pray. And they spoke some English because they went to school. And I said, guys, will you help me pray? And I watched as these four guys, probably between the ages 8 and 12, and I probably said something like, why don't you guys lead out in prayer, and then I will jump in. I watched these guys pray. I stood. We come against the devil in Jesus. They're shouting. They're laying hands on this woman. God, we call on you. There is no hope without you. We pray for this sister that you would heal. I'm going. If there's a prayer scale, I ain't on it. And their way, where do they get that? They've endured a lot more stuff in their life than I have. You get it? Suffering, if you will, is part of the deal. Okay. End of point one. Okay, life-changing faith developed during time of suffering. I'm just submit the second thing to you. Something for you to chew on. Life-changing faith is built through an understanding of Jesus. An understanding of I'm emphasizing in verse 27 where it says that the woman heard about Jesus. That's significant. She heard about Jesus. What I want to do is highlight the fact that the woman didn't, the scripture doesn't read when she heard about the church. The scripture doesn't read when she received the flyer about the women's brunch. It doesn't when she got her master's degree in theology. Then she would, no. It wasn't when she signed up for Dave Ramsey, although that's a good thing to do. I still think you should do it. Okay? Now, those are all good things. But to be clear, none of those good things compare to hearing about Jesus. That's what the scripture says. When she heard about Jesus, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of, there he is, the Christ, Jesus. And so here is a hint if you want faith like this woman. This is a very practical thing you can do. Grab a Bible if you have a physical Bible and aren't just doing online, but read the red. Read the red and see if your faith, if I could put this on your handout, I would have. Read the red and watch your faith. Read the stories about Jesus. Get to know the heart of Jesus. I'm convinced that this woman, as she heard stories about Jesus, her faith would rise. Stories like this. She could have heard all these stories. She could have overheard the people talking. Jesus healed 10 people with one command. She may have heard that. Said, go show yourself to the Pharisees. They went. All 10 of them were healed. Who? Jesus did that. She you may have heard of the long distance healing that we talked about earlier with the centurion, right? And then Jesus said, go. It's a long distance thing. He just did that. And then the guy was, she heard the story about what Jesus did and does. She could have heard Jesus even cares about Samaritans. What? Yeah, he talked to one. He talked to this lady at a well in Samaria. No one cares about Samaritans, but Jesus cares about Samaritans. Oh, and she heard maybe Jesus fed 5,000 people with one person's lunch. He did. You know what those stories about Jesus do? They well up in us the reality of who he is. And here's one. And if she heard, he put his hand on a leper and said, I am willing. He put his hand, the scripture says he reached out and he touched a leper. You got to be kidding me. Now, you know what could have happened in her life if she heard that one? She could have thought, but a leper is unclean. You don't touch a leper. And you know what that would have done in her soul? I'm unclean. Maybe he'll touch me. Does that make sense? You see how those stories open the door? You gotta be kidding. Who is this guy that would touch a leper? If you know the historical, because see, she's unclean. She's not allowed to touch anybody. She's not even allowed to be in the midst of this crowd. When she hears those stories, when we hear those stories, you know what it does? It gives us hope. You can write this down. When we hear stories about Jesus, we get to know the heart of God. Why don't you stand? We'll close. I have two challenges for you to consider. The first one is this. It's for everyone in here. If you're a Christian, here's the challenge. Ready? Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. You got a story about Jesus, things he's done in your life? Talk about it. It'll well up faith in other people. The other thing is we're going to have prayer. I'm going to do a group prayer over here. If you have an area of your life that you're suffering, it doesn't have to be as bad as her, but you realize, yeah, it's suffering. We're going to over here just together. We're going to try to figuratively, we're going to try to reach out and touch the clothes of Jesus on our behalf. And I'll just lead in a prayer. You may have more faith right now than you've had in a long time just because we've been talking about what Jesus does. If you need any personal attention from a prayer team member, if you sit in the front row over here, prayer team members will come up and they'll say, what do you want to do? Some of you may want to come here for prayer instead of doing the group prayer. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. Father,